Welcome to Belonging and Beyond podcast for immigrant and refugee women, where we'll be having deep conversations about belonging, spirituality, and healing.
Recording? Great. All right. Today, my guest is Adelita Montero, and she is an amazing person, and I'm honored to have you here as a guest on the Belonging and Beyond podcast. Adelita is a conscious entrepreneur. She's an international coach and speaker, and 4 times Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion. So welcome. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here, and look forward to get into the questions and see what we can help people with.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. All right. So tell me a little bit about yourself and just the circumstances that also brought you from Brazil to the United States.
Yes. So I was born in Brazil, and by the time I was 16, I started competing in skateboarding and traveled all over Brazil competing, and had some success in tournaments. And some of my friends and I decided to come and compete in the U.S. And I came and went a few times. And eventually, somehow, this place was a place that I was going to end up living at. And I just had no idea that that was actually going to happen. I just became it started as an athletic event that I would come and compete and leave. And then eventually somehow I was supposed to live here and go to school here, and still part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And what shaped you, you know, as you were growing up, as you were maturing, as you were living your life, what shaped you? What kinds of maybe events, things, authors, somebody who inspired you?
Yes. So in Brazil, there is this very famous author called Paulo Coelho. He wrote The Alchemist. Yeah. So I was very fortunate. My mom was into psychology, and she had a lot of these types of books. She had Carl Jung, and she had Paulo Coelho, like all of the Paulo Coelho. And my dad kind of had some other more spiritual books, like Allan Kardec. He's a French mathematician, scientist that started to study spiritual phenomena in France, and then that spread all over the world. So there is a documentary on Netflix about Kardec that just came out, the life of Allan Kardec and how he created Kardecism, or also known as Spiritism. So I had access to these things. They didn't actually take me to any spiritual places or any seminars, because I love to be around, always constantly learning, growing, and attending and following, you know, Joe Dispenza. And I started with Eckhart Tolle here in the U.S. and Abraham Hicks, and followed those guys around. But in Brazil, no. Growing up, my parents, they had kind of a cynical approach to religion, organized religion. And unfortunately, there was like a lack, you know, for me growing up. So I had access to these things, but I was like doing it on my own. They were not feeding it to me. It was just around. But somehow I was hungry. Nobody said, hey, check this book out. They actually thought that, you know, why are you like reading these books? Like, you're 8, you're 9, you're 10. Like, you shouldn't be, this is not appropriate for your age, kind of thing. But I've always been very curious. That didn't stop me. And I just did it on my own. And I feel like that hunger you know, it still prevails to this day, and I continue to study, to learn. So I've been learning since I was a little kid, you know, Paulo Coelho, like all of those books and spiritist book collections and some psychology. My aunt had like some sociology books and things like that. And my grandmother was very Catholic, part of a charismatic renewal, a more progressive line in the Catholic Church, where they go to retreats and things like that. So sometimes I used to go with my grandmother. And actually, my mom and dad and my aunt, they kind of like intellectual people. They're like, oh, you know, they would criticize it. Like, you don't want to like get indoctrinated. Like, you don't want to, like, you have to kind of just be careful, you know. They didn't want me to get sucked into some religious doctrine, dogma, and things like that. I do appreciate that, but at the same time, you can't have nothing. You can't just have cynical and have nothing to feed that part of you. Because I believe the human being has four parts. We are physical. We all know that, our physical body. But there's our emotions, our emotional body, and our intellectual, our mental capacity, and also our spirit. So we have four parts, and we have to manage and keep all those balanced and aligned in coherence, right? Joe Dispenza talk a lot about, you know, heart and mind coherence. Mm. So if those things are aligned, that's when we can be a creator. So we didn't really have any of that going on, and the spiritual thing was lacking. There was some lack. I felt that there was a lack. There was like fixed mindset and scarcity thinking. So I didn't grow up in like, hey, you know, it's all about personal growth and development. No, I just had that in me.
Beautiful to hear that. Yes, yes, absolutely. And I want to add that Paulo Coelho, in his book, The Alchemist, played an instrumental life in role in my life as well. When I was in my early 20s and had a corporate job, and I was really feeling unsatisfied, and the part of me that's kind of higher and deeper, I call it my soul. So I felt like my soul was nudging me along. And when I was reading The Alchemist, it was the first time I was introduced to this notion and possibility that we can actually follow our passions or discover our passions and live the life of our dreams, or at least get on that path versus doing the normal kind of a thing that everybody else around me was doing, you know, going to college, getting a job, succeeding in the corporate environment. So I really also appreciate his wisdom and his simplicity in the way he wrote the book and how it spoke to millions and millions of people. So, yeah. And I also appreciate you talking about spirituality and bringing that in, and just naming that even as a, you know, a little girl, you were hungry for something that wasn't even in your environment, wasn't available to you, wasn't coming to you through your parents or community, but a part of you knew better, or was kind of like seeking something else. So it's really, really beautiful. Do you remember, you know, maybe when you were little, or when you were, you know, more mature, some of the, maybe naming just one spiritual experience that you had that kind of maybe opened up your world or showed you different possibility. Is there anything like that that comes to mind? And if not, that's okay too.
Yes. Well, it was really nice that my grandmother was part of something that I could experience. Because I think you can go to any church or any religion, and if you really tune in to, you know, to your heart, to your spirit, if you actually open up, you can receive. So from any religion, there's truth, and all the religions are saying the same thing. So I'm so glad that my grandmother had a connection with something like that. You know, there are many problems with the Catholic Church as it is, and I don't follow and go to it right now. But within that, you know, there is good people, and there is a way to connect with God through that. You don't necessarily have to go the route, but is something that can help, that there's a certain community, there's a certain goodness about it. So I was able to go to some retreats, and I really felt like I could feel God there. I could connect, learn how to connect. I would go there, I feel good, feel happy with seeing, we worship about God, and it's just positive energy, basically. I was, you know, feeling good. It's a bliss, you know. And you don't necessarily have to go to this religion or that religion, or in fact, you could be at home and do it. Because all that stuff, it resides inside of us. So that's what some of the main religions sometimes may or may not teach, because that would take their power away. Like, no, you have to come here to get this bread. But the truth of it, it's like, no, I learned that it really, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for, you know, learning about spiritism. Growing up, as a 16-year-old, I was able to work with a dentist. This guy was like my spiritual mentor. He was a dentist in this town in São Paulo, where I was just helping I was his receptionist. So I had to dress in all white. I was 16 years old. It was my first job. It felt so professional. And I really love it. He only played classical music in there. It was in a tall building in downtown where I was. So it just felt wonderful. But people would come around there because he was also director of a spiritist center. So here spiritism comes into play again in my life through this guy. And he was director of it. And so people would sometimes come there. And he had three different offices. And it would come with like personal problems, spiritual problems, and relationship things, different things. And he would go ahead and put them on one of the rooms, and he was almost like a spiritual psychologist, you know, and he would be working on somebody's teeth, and he would do root canals here and then be done with this guy and then go over there and do some like energy healing on this other person and talk to and counsel them. And I saw that, and growing up around him, I knew he was a psychic, and there were like many things that I did that were like, I was not supposed to do. I was not during my work hours, whatever. And he knew about it. So I knew for sure that he was. And also in the spiritist doctrine, it's a lot of the teachings are channeled through spirits, spirit of truth, different spirits, like giving us a certain wisdom, certain concepts for questions that were devised by this guy, Allan Kardec, through the book of spirits. There's like 1,000 questions. That's what the movie is about, Kardec on Netflix. So this guy created 1,000 questions of all different types of like, what are we here for? What's the purpose of life? Is there reincarnation? What is the purpose of this? What's the justice in like people that are born, you know, without arms and, you know, little kids? How come some people are genius? So just all kinds of different possible questions of other planets. And then spirits would channel through some people, and then there's all these answers. So I grew up kind of like immersed in that. And then through this guy, I start to absorb from him his moral conduct, his posture in life, and about giving and about service. But that was very different. It actually irritated my dad, just the mentioning of this guy's name, because I really admired him. He had a charity. So we would have like pizza nights, and when I would work the pizza nights, we would like gather food, and he would feed the poor. Like every Christmas, he would have families come around. They would like give them gifts of clothes and toys and this and that. And he gave all his money away.
Wow.
Amazing. He was an amazing person. So just the fact that I was able to cross paths with this guy that did have a big impact on my life. So I was very fortunate about that. My grandmother, this guy. And it's just like they say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And then there are like several other things that, you know, later I became... I started learning shamanism. I am from Brazil, so there's a, you know, culture of, you know, being nature, being with the forest, and partaking on like, you know, spiritual ceremonies and chanting and singing and being community and just, you know, invoking like, you know, powerful spiritual forces of nature and things like that, and connect with that. And just so there's all different levels of development that I've been going through, and still am to this day.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And I also, you know, you mentioned spirituality and Catholic religion, and you're kind of also discovering your own path, being influenced by other teachers. And I'm curious also, did patriarchy kind of like come into play at some point in your life where you realized maybe that your culture or the religion that you were inside of was influencing some of the ways women are viewed or seen and impacted? Did that at any point in your life have an influence you weren't really a part of it at all?
It took me a long time to realize what was up with me, what was up with the world, what was going on. It took me a long time to mature, I think, to the person that I'm at right now. For a long time, I didn't perceive of any of those things. There was a dissatisfaction about, I just felt that things weren't right, that there was like lack and scarcity. And I grew up sort of angry, but I just didn't know exactly why. But then later on, I start to see that, you know, there is oppression. You know, it seems like there is a battle. And I mean, there's just a lack of consciousness that, you know, there's like a collective ignorance, you know. People are not in tune with who they are. They forgot their power. They give away their power. We feel like victims. So in this victim mentality, you know, there's like all kinds of dynamics that happen. You know, I'm insecure. I'm not in touch with my emotions. So I'm going to control somebody. I'm going to, create these different dynamics sometimes in the family that are detrimental, that are not actually, harmonious for a good relationship to keep the family alive. So there's a lot of a growth that needs to happen, not only for men, you know, but for women, to knowing that, like, I can't accept certain things. So we can't put all on the men, that the men are the oppressor, but the women also has to find a place of self-love and self-worth, knowing the difference that certain things are not tolerable and whatever it takes. So I see some changes happening, you know, but there's more work to be done, that's for sure.
I loved it that you brought in this notion that it's not just about men, it's also about the women, you know, and women discovering their self-worth, their voices, reclaiming their bodies and stepping into their own leadership in spite of what is going on maybe in the consciousness of the men that they're surrounded by, because they're the ones who need to evolve the dynamics and the relationships. And so it's really, you know, great that you're speaking to that. And I know you also feel, you shared that empowerment is really something that you feel passionate about. I imagine also through your sport, does that come into play as well as like being empowered and being a woman and in that kind of a sport? How does that play out in your life?
Yes, for me, like I was trapped in a relationship that I wasn't very happy. I wasn't happy at all with it. And, so I started doing jujitsu, and I feel like jujitsu gave me some strength, like some mental, you know, starts physical, but mental strength, you know, to face your fears, to feel that you can do more than you actually thought you could. So it was a vehicle for me to grow. I started about 8-9 years ago. Today, you know, as a white belt in jiu-jitsu, it takes 10 years minimum for you to get a black belt, unlike some other martial arts. And I can't believe today I am a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. Like, I had no idea when I was starting that this was really gonna take a big part in my life. And I see this as a conduit for me to continue to not only develop myself, but then you become like a role model for people. You know, it just kind of happened. You know, now there's all these white belts, kids and women and whoever, like guys that some may look up to me. Like, I had a dream that I wanted to be a world champion. That was my dream. Like, oh, I want to be a jiu-jitsu world champion. That was like, that sounded so incredible. And kind of a big goal, like a big dream that may or may not ever happen, you know? Mm. Just like a wish. And then I did win my first, you know, world championship in jiu-jitsu. What was it, 2015 or something? So that was amazing. And after that, I was able to win like a few more times. And then now, like, looking back, I'm like a different person. No, I'm not that very person that was just wishing I could maybe one day. Now I have this, you know, sometimes I'm introduced to events and, oh, she's a Delita Monteiro, 4-time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu World Champ. I'm like, who is that? There's a part of me. It's like, wow, that sounds amazing. And that's me. So I'm still amazed about the possibilities. And I have to find myself the courage and to stand in this place of like, yes, I am that. I am a 4-time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion, and other people can do it. This is how I did it. And all this stuff that I've learned throughout my life, all the lessons of my life, they're for a reason. You know, there's like a message and there's a story that people need to hear so that they can apply these things to their lives and maybe, you know, alleviate some suffering or just find a path out of where they were stuck. Because I didn't see anybody that were as a role model or somebody that I could follow. I felt like I had to do it all myself. So I feel like there's a lot that I can do and teach people just by sharing this journey of like, you know, there are different mindsets that you can have for life. Like, nothing was handed for me. Like my family was not athletic. They actually don't really train and compete or being participant in any sports ever. I'm the first one to graduate college in my family. And my dad didn't go to middle school. So there's like all these different milestones, you know, that I'm breaking through. And I think that's part of our job, is to you know, not just follow what others have done, but to actually create a path, you know? So that's the path. That's the journey to now share my message with people and hope that it can inspire people to live their in their power to contribute, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can just sense your brilliance, and I'm so glad that you're speaking of your accomplishments, because not many women kind of want to do that, and they think they're kind of like bragging about themselves. But I was reading an article or actually listening to a podcast where it's kind of like a given that women undermine themselves and they don't, you know, necessarily want to be in the spotlight. So I'm really proud that you're, you know, serving as an example for women, how to actually stand in your power, name your accomplishments, let people know where you come from and how far you've come. So it's really, I'm sure, you know, lots of women are going to be feeling inspired by everything that you did and you're still doing. So thank you for that. Yeah, and I have a few more questions. One of them is, like when we talk about, you know, since the podcast has a lot to do also with belonging, you know, I'm curious, how did that show up in your life? Like fitting in, belonging, where is home? Like that question, how did you walk that path?
Yes, it's not easy to be here and away from my family, turns out. I didn't realize that when I was 19, when I first left, to live in a different continent. But for some reason, I believed I have to be here. You know, I have children here. I have a 16-year-old, and I have a 10-year-old. So they go to school here. I feel like it's a safe place for them to live. And I love Southern California. So there's always gonna be some challenges, you know, when you leave your country. Like all of my family, I have no family around. So it's a 12-hour flight. It's a challenge, you know, to be able to be around them and see them. In Brazil, it's very social. Like people are always gathering together. And at my house, my aunt married a musician, and they have like music, like also all the friends are musician. So they gather around, like, you know, almost every other weekend. And there's music. It's a party, you know. And
yeah,
and I just sort of miss that social aspect of it. Like it seems like people here are more busy, and they don't have as much time. As much as we want to get together, it takes, you know, major effort to be able to meet people in person. Now with social media and all that, it feels like, oh, if I just send them like a picture that and a like, that we're connected, but not necessarily. We need that, you know, face to face. So I miss that part of being in Brazil and being around my family and our friends and people. But here in the US, I was very fortunate to find the jiu-jitsu community, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So there's a connection there with my culture. I think that's why I started. Also, I'm part of the like shamanic Brazilian shamanic circles, and there are several of those. So part of my culture is that we work together, and we do healing ceremonies, and we sing, we chant. All the songs are in Portuguese. So a lot of people are American, but there's always like a percentage that are Brazilian in these gatherings. So these are often like spiritual reunions that I really look forward to be around my people and be around people that are like working on themselves. It's about healing. It's about either healing or self-development, or let's develop a skill, or like let's use our time. I feel like time is really precious for me right now, and there is an urgency of like use your time really wise. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And there is, you know, you have to really develop yourself. You know, I think that's really the point of life, of all the different things that I've studied and read and seminars that I've been to. It's about contributing, and it's about improving yourself. It's about self-actualization. So these are, you know, physical, jiu-jitsu, spiritual, my shamanic, my healing family. And I'm also part of Centers of Spiritual Living, which is part of the New Thought Movement. It's another different spiritual line that I belong, that doesn't have, it's a trans-denominational. So it's not like this religion is right, this is right. It's like they're all right, and we are all right, and we're one. So, you know, in the spirit of unity, you know, there's even like unity churches that are part of this philosophy. And it's about knowing that God is inside of you, and there are no mistakes, there are no failures, there's only lessons. So we're here studying and improving and learning and forgiving and loving and studying and learning. So that's what I look forward to do, and improve physically, emotionally, spiritually, mm-hmm. and in all these different facets. And that's what I've been doing.
Beautiful. Yes. Thank you for also naming some of the ways that you've created, you know, a sense of community for yourself and a sense of belonging. Because some people, when they come to the U.S., that sort of sense of aloneness and loneliness is so persistent. And I feel like, you know, with the immigration journey, people feel lost, you know, many of the times, or they feel overwhelmed, or they fall into depression. And there's almost like, at the same time, I see an opportunity with the immigrant experience and that being kind of like this kind of catalyst for awakening and self-discovery, and really even including the cultural layers, but also going deeper than that. Like, who am I really? Like, why am I even here on earth? Like, what is my purpose? And so I feel like, that could be an opportunity for something else to unfold in our lives. So it's beautiful to hear that you found your way through this, and you're sort of like, have a sense of community now and a support system. So beautiful. And one other question that I have for you is, what touches your heart? What touches your heart?
What doesn't touch my heart? I'm really touched by service, about community, about seeing people that are doing good for others. They're overcoming, you know, a sense of self, and just finding peace in giving and finding a purpose in life, knowing what you want. So that's what touches my heart, is to be able to be that for people, knowing that, you know, there are many different things that you can study, that you can not only heal yourself and work on yourself, but you can help others. So I've been educating and studying different types of therapies that can help people heal. And also through speaking, through sharing my message, I help people understand that they're really powerful. Our minds are super powerful. And that if you can focus your mind on a goal, there's nothing that you can accomplish. So there's a lot of potential that needs to be developed. And I like to help people in, you know, find their passion, find their purpose, and get out of their heads, you know, and find their heart. And I think for immigrant women, or everybody really, what helps the most is to be developing yourself, to be working on yourself, whatever it is. Just find a passion, something that you like. You know, for me, it's like self-development, personal development, business. It could be a language. It could be music. You know, music is very magical. It could be write a book. So there's something inside of you, like, you, if we're here, I think it's for a purpose. And then not until we stop and find what it is that, you know, our purpose is, what it is that is fun for us, what is it that, you know, gives you joy, then we are sort of lost. We're just kind of like following cultural programming and parental programming. So the point is to stop all that and really confront, like, who am I? What do I want to do for me, and develop myself so that I can better serve my family, so I can better serve others. So not until we stop and do that, then we're kind of like going with the cultural collective nonsense, and we feel a little lost.
I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, there's so many ways in which we can be pulled to follow some of the unhealthy dynamics that happen you know, in collective culture, like consumerism, mm-hmm. you know, turning to drugs like alcohol and you know, different things that are actually destructive. And I also feel and sense that some of the reasons people do that is because on some level they're suffering inside. Mm-hmm. You know, some of it has to do, I know for me, I would turn to perfectionism and getting good grades in school and, mm-hmm. being this high achiever, because deep down inside I felt like worthless and I had traumatic experiences that weren't really integrated yet or healed. And so I feel sometimes people, even successful people, you know, who are supposedly on the outside, on the inside, do not necessarily feel happy or fulfilled or know what their purpose in life is. So I almost feel like there needs to be that kind of like going within is like a must. Like you can't really have a fulfilling, amazing, wonderful life unless you start to sort out what's going on in your inner world.
Most people don't even know what that means. Mm. Like we sometimes travel in circles that's a given. And that's not the case for most of the people. It's like if you actually say, go within, mm. that doesn't mean anything to them. They're like, file not found, mm. you know, and they're going through their head like, what do you mean go with it? That's not something that we were taught, you know, learning school or anything like that, especially in the Western world. So going within has to do with quieting your mind, sitting by yourself, slowing down your thoughts, just breathing, just being with yourself, being with the creator, with the universe, or just appreciating your life force and the energy that comes in and out, you know, through the air in your lungs, and appreciating that and just sitting in gratitude and just try to feel love in your heart, mm. you know? So then those things that seem really simple to do, yet so many people don't even know how to disconnect from their mind or how do you even access that, which is the most precious resource that we have. So that's what it means to go within. So most crucial, if you have to, you need to have take time to go within, mm-hmm. and that's one way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I think maybe also, I know for me personally, being an introvert, it was easier to go within, even though I felt, you know, my own pain in many times, there was a lot of tension I was holding in my body. So there were layers of discomfort that I actually needed to move through. And a part of me to this day, sometimes when I meditate or, you know, I'm going within, I distract myself or I would rather, you know, do something else. So I feel like there needs to be kind of a gradual almost descend into our inner worlds and also our bodies. I feel also that one of the ways that patriarchy for me personally showed up in the spiritual world is that a lot of it had to do with ascension and going higher versus going into the body, you know, feeling what is going on inside, allowing, you know, emotions to be part of the process. So it's not always, it's like the deeper and the higher go hand in hand. That's how I'm experiencing it now. And bringing in more of the feminine sort of spiritual truths and even mystics who were part of the religious stream but were excluded for a long period of time from being known. And so yes. I don't know how that came about, but I just felt like saying that. So,
yeah. No, I think it's important to see that if you really look at like the Catholic Church and their priests, and they're usually like, you know, male figures, and God seems like it's a guy. And why did that happen? At some point, a long time ago before Christ, women was the pillar of society. I actually, in some of my talks that I talk about the goddess warrior workshops, is that women used to be the pillar of society, that men used to cater to women. And, you know, because women give birth, Women were the priestess, women were the healers, and women could nurture and cook and all the different amazing things that we forgot, you know, our power. So at some point, men did get, things, you know, like mixed up in their heads, and they pushed women down at some point. And that's what we have right now. But it used to be a matriarchal society. Mm. And that makes a lot of sense. But what would be ideal is for the women to develop, come out of that, for the men to develop their emotions and to hold women regarded as equals, not, you know, women or men are better than the other. But the magic is when men and women, they come together in sacred union, and it's a powerhouse for manifestation. That's the most sacred, the most amazing, heavenly experience that you could have on this planet, is to be with somebody that values you, you value them, you come together with the same, you know, heart and mind coherence with the same goals, caring for each other. Then that is a very powerful place. And then there's nothing that a couple like that can't not accomplish together.
Beautiful, beautiful, amazing. So we're coming to kind of a close of our conversation, and I want to ask you just a couple more questions. What are you currently working on? Can you share that with the audience?
I'm working on so many things, my friend, so many things. I'm very busy right now. Just a couple days ago, I finished my first two hypnotic track downloads. So I am a certified hypnotherapist. So I help people get out of negative, unresourceful mental states like anger, or I get a lot of anxiety, stress, depression, or just people unfulfilled. So going through the hypnotic route is different than just going through therapy and just talking through your problems, because it seems like if you talk through your problems, you create more of the problems. So you can spend, you know, 2 years complaining and blaming your parents, but at some point you have to take responsibility and work on yourself. You know, they did all they could with what they had. You know, that's one of the presuppositions of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which I also teach. You know, your parents, they were only handed so many resources, and then they only had so much to give. Sure, they made mistakes, but if you go and have a child, you probably will make some mistakes, different mistakes than them. So at the end of the day, forgiving everybody and taking responsibility for your life. So that's really nice. In hypnotherapy, I found that's like a fast therapy is a fast solution, in a way, to just go there and sweep away all negative and processed emotions sometimes stored in our bodies. Because the mind and body connection, you know, that's like more and more like scientifically proved that if you don't know how to process your emotions, they turn into physical ailments in your body. They show up in your body. So there's people that have, you know, emotional trauma and things like that, they, you know, happen that they can't even remember sometimes, and that become some kind of symptom in their body. If you go to a doctor, they're gonna prescribe you all kinds of things. They may actually even label you this or that and the other, and then you buy into a story that now you create your identity around, like some kind of, oh, I have a, you know, disorder of this kind of anxiety, and I have a depression, and I'm taking this heavy duty medicines. And some people don't, not saying all of them, but some people really fall into this trap. And they, if they were just able to process that emotion, that the physical thing would go away so many times, you know, the placebo effect, you know, in all the scientific studies, they use the placebo effect, you know, to prove whether or not one control group is working for them, and then they have the placebo. So the placebo thing is already accepted, widely known that, you know, some people in the placebo effect, just by taking the placebo, heal just as much as the other people. Mm. So we are the placebo. Our mind is the power. So I have people to connect and to harness them, the power of their mind to heal that. So the hypnotic tracks, yes, I'm working on those so that people can do that without having to have me. So they're going to be able to go to my website, not just yet, maybe in a couple weeks or so, maybe a month the most, and download these tracks and then listen. That's what I do. You know, before jiu-jitsu tournaments, yes, I have my, you know, winner tracks that I listen to. And before I'm going to step on the mat, I have headphones on and I'm programming my mind. Mm. I'm a winner. Mm. I've trained, I gave 100%. I deserve to be a winner. So if you're creating the mindset that you want, you can do that for love. You can do that for finances. You can do that for anything that you want to create, manifest in your life, to your mind, because our mind, right, can heal our bodies and can heal our lives. Mm. So working on that, okay. I'm working on writing a book about the warrior champion mindset. So now I'm teaching people how to have the mindset of a warrior champion, how to win in life. What does it take? What is the mindset? What's the process? Mm. How can I be a winner? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to be putting out. I'm working very strongly on that right now. I have an ebook all about mindsets also be coming out in 2 weeks. It's already done. So there's the ebook. I'm working on the book. There's the hypnotic downloads. I have my websites being redone right now. So that's coming out as well.
Okay.
Just continue creating. You know, I think that's important to create. And I'm also setting up talks. Several talks where I'm going to be teaching people about the warrior champion mindset.
Beautiful. Amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, people are going to be eager to receive your gifts and to hear, listen to the audios and just benefit from all your wisdom and knowledge and experience. So thank you for being here. And is there, do you want to leave, just name your website in case one of them or both of them, just in case people want to maybe sign up for your newsletters or get in touch with you?
Yes, I have, my website is live right now, the one I have currently. It's going to be the same address, but right now you can go to adelitamonterolive.com. So Adelita, it means little Adele. So Adelita, Montero, like the truck, live.com. Okay. So I'm sure we can post it on the comments. Yes. You guys can find a link somewhere.
Yes, and, I'll do it.
There are different things that you can find in there, and more resources will be coming in the new website. That's going to be very exciting.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. It's an honor and a pleasure. And I'm sure we'll be connecting again in the future.
So. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Gayane, for this opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure.
Have a blessed day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.